Turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. As you're turning there, a man asked his wife what she wanted for her birthday. She sat and she thought and thought for a little bit, and then she replied, "Oh, I don't know. Just give me something with diamonds." So the man said, "No problem." So her birthday came around a couple days later, and her husband presented her with this beautifully wrapped gift, this little box, beautifully wrapped. As she unopened it, piece by piece, just relishing each peeling back of the tape and of the wrapping paper, as she finally unwrapped it, the box revealed a beautiful deck of playing cards with diamonds. Okay, just checking. Amen. This morning we're going to be talking about lengthen and strengthen. Isaiah 54, we're going to start reading right at verse 1. "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." How many have ever pitched a tent or set up a large canopy? Anybody have that struggle, that fun in doing so? Well, for those of you who have, you certainly understand the importance of those long cords and those strong stakes that anchor that tent or that canopy down, especially on nice breezy days like today. The absolute importance for those long cords and those strong stakes. And this is the picture that God is describing for us here in verse 2. And the first thing I want us to see is the children. The children. Verse 1. "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Bring forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Now, as I pointed out, every time you study or read the Bible, there's three important things that you need to do with whatever piece of scripture, whatever passage you're reading. And the first thing is to identify the actual historical content. The second thing you need to do is understand that this is a, what kind of book? It's a spiritual book, isn't it? Amen? It's a spiritual book. It's the Word of God. So there is a spiritual message within that passage. And we need to identify out of that actual historical content, what is that spiritual message that God is revealing to my heart? And the third thing we do is once we find that spiritual message, how do I apply it to my daily life? How do I apply it? How do I live it each and every day? Now, going back to the historical content, there's no doubt that God here is directing this passage to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Israel, God's hidden treasure, they had been barren for years, desolate, barren for years. But as we saw that in the study of the parables, this is just a temporary condition. This was a temporary barrenness, and God repeats that here in this passage as well. God has promised Israel that they would be blessed and that they would multiply. He said that they shall, their descendants will inherit the nations. Amen. So, what is the spiritual message here? That's the actual historical message, but what is that spiritual message that we need to understand? Well, we need to understand that God here is talking about a spiritual family. Amen? He's talking about spiritual children in particular. He's talking about the church. He's talking about every born-again believer. Through Abraham, through that covenant that God established with Abraham, God told Abraham that his descendants would be more than the stars of the sky, more than the sand of the sea. He wasn't talking just about physical descendants, Abraham being the father of the nation of Israel, but more importantly, he was talking about Abraham's spiritual descendants in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the spiritual message that we need to understand. God here is talking about those spiritual children, his spiritual children, the children of God, those born-again believers, and that God's desire here is to see his spiritual church family grow. Amen? God's desire is to see his spiritual church family grow and expand. Just as Jesus gave us insight in those parables, God gives us a little insight here at the end of verse 1. He said, "More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman." What is our relationship with Jesus Christ? How does the Bible describe that? He's the husbandman, and we are what? We are the bride of Christ. God is telling us that sad fact that more are the children of the desolate, more are those that will not follow Jesus Christ than those, the children of the married one. Amen? But God's desire is for each and every person to come to Jesus Christ. Amen? To come and join his family. We need to understand that is exactly why Jesus suffered and bled and died for us in the first place. Amen? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." I want you to pay close attention to that last word. For an elect few, did it say? For a certain few? It said that he would taste death for everyone because that is God's desire, that everyone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? John chapter 1. Verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Again, God's talking about that spiritual family, his spiritual family. "To those who believe in his name, who were born not out of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." God's desire is for all to be saved, for all to become his children, for all to become part of his spiritual family. Amen? That's what this passage is all about. And we go back to our original text, and we see the word barren. Barren is simply the inability to have children. Amen? And we need to understand that in Bible times, this was a reproach for women. During that time, during those days. It's not like it is today where women, many women choose not to have children for various reasons, and many just because they don't want the inconvenience of having kids. They see children as an inconvenience. But my heart goes out to those who truly have a heart's desire to have children but are not able to. Amen? So children were seen a little bit different in Bible times. Children were absolutely coveted and cherished, and a woman wanted their family, you know, to have a big family during those days. You know, take Rachel, for instance. Rachel cried out back in the book of Genesis, and she cried out to God. She said, "Oh God, give me children or I die." That's how important children were back in those days. And God would hear her prayer, and God would open her womb, and she bore Joseph. Joseph, one of the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. God honored her prayer and her petition. And think of all the blessings that have flown, that have just drizzled down from Joseph's bloodline. Amen? Part of that covenant that God made with Abraham and Joseph being part of that bloodline. All those blessings that have flown down through the ages. God's desire is to add spiritual children to his family. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Listen to how the Apostle Paul wrote what he said here in his letter to that church in Corinth. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. Now keep in mind, he's talking about spiritual fathers here. Amen? For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. The Apostle Paul here, he was writing about all of his spiritual children. Timothy, you know, where we see the book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy in the Bible. That was a young preacher who Paul led to the Lord and considered one of his spiritual children. And Timothy considered Paul his spiritual father in Christ. And that's what Paul's talking about here. All of his spiritual children that he had led to Christ, or he at least went in his missionary journeys and he planted that seed. As he sowed those seeds were implanted in their hearts. He was their spiritual father in Jesus Christ. A speaker had been invited to a large group, and the speaker made this really large 5-foot by 6-foot chart. And that chart was just pure white with a single black dot right in the center. And he invited all those that attend this large gathering, this large meeting. He took volunteer after volunteer to study it, and then to tell him exactly what they saw. And they all came up with the same conclusion. They all saw a black dot in the middle of that big, massive white chart. And the speaker concluded how amazing it was that all of them there, the only thing they saw was that black dot, but ignored the white field all around it. And that mirrors and that illustrates our human nature. That black dot represents us. Amen? It represents us and how we tend to focus on me, on us the majority of the time. Amen? Use this analogy over and over. If you ever see a group picture of yourself, who's the first person you look for? I want to see how I looked in the picture, right? We focus on me. We focus on us. That's the, you know, that's the selfishness of our human nature. We focus on us way too often. We tend to fixate on our self-concerns. God, I need this, or this, or Lord, you know, my this or my that, over and over, and it's I, and me. And too often, we tend to ignore those white field of people in need all around us. Amen? Jesus gave us a better illustration in John chapter 4. John 4, verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But Jesus said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? They were perplexed. He was talking about a spiritual food. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this is a saying that is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you entered into their labors. Jesus is telling us that there have been many faithful saints that have gone out before us. They've gone out and already planted and sowed and planted, and it's up to us to come by and reap the harvest. He said the harvest is already white and ready to be reaped. We are surrounded by people in need. Amen. Surrounded by those who are hurting. People without hope. People in desperate need of a loving Savior. Amen. The field is pure white and ready for the harvest. And we are called to lay aside self. Amen. We are called to reap the harvest, to witness and share the gospel. Add to the family of God as much as we possibly can. Amen. Listen. If your Christian walk has been barren, then you need to cry out to the Lord just as Rachel did. Amen. If your fire to witness has gone out, then you need to cry out to the Lord to rekindle that fire inside. Amen. We need to have concern, as we talked about those 20 missionaries that have been taken and abducted in Haiti. Our hearts should go out to them. Amen. For those that are witnessing and putting their lives on the front line to witness for Christ. When it comes to this world, our calling is to go out and witness, to sow that seed. Jesus said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Every single one of us, although we may not be called to be pastors, we are all called to be preachers. Amen. Jesus said, go out into the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us is a preacher. May not be called to be an individual pastor, but we're all called to preach the gospel. Amen. We have two choices. We can either evangelize or we're going to fossilize. Amen. Either evangelize or fossilize, and that choice is up to us. So that's the children that God was talking about here. Now let's consider the canopy. The canopy. Now, as a parent, when we have a family, it's the parent's responsibility to make sure and provide a roof or a covering over their family, right? Amen? That's our obligation, our responsibility. And that's the same picture that God is painting here. And he's referring to a Bedouin tent. Now, a Bedouin tent is very common in the Middle East. It was very large, and it was used to cover livestock from time to time, and it was also put up, and children would sit under it and play and be covered and protected from the sun that was beating down on them in the desert. So as a family would grow, when more children would be added to that family, it would be the father's responsibility to expand and enlarge that tent to make sure all of his children could fit, to make sure all of his children were covered under that tent and protected. And God, our Heavenly Father, he does the same for all of his children. He does the same for each and every one of us. Although we are not covered with a physical tent, God covers us, A, with the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he also covers us with his love and his care and his protection and his nurture. Amen. Every single one of us, we are covered with all of that. And as a family of God grows, that covering must what? It must expand. It must grow also. So how do we apply this spiritual truth to our lives? Well, first and foremost, God commands us to reap the harvest. Amen? Jesus commanded us to reap the harvest. We are to witness. We are to share the love of Jesus Christ with whoever is willing to listen. Amen? This dark and dying world is in dire need of a loving Savior. Secondly, we are also to reflect the love and the light of Jesus Christ all around us. Amen? We are to reflect his love and his light. Listen, we are the heart and the hands and the feet of God on this earth. Amen. People see Jesus through us. We are his reflection. And we are to care and we are to protect and we are to nurture those babes in Christ, those new believers that he has entrusted in our care. Amen. That's our responsibility. Listen, we serve a big God who expects big things from us. Amen? In turn, we are to have a big vision. He's telling us here in this passage, he said, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. And do not spare. Amen? We are to share the gospel, not spare the gospel. Do not spare. We're not to spare anything when it comes to sharing the gospel and witnessing to those who are lost and undone without Christ. We're not to spare in our care. We're not to spare in our protection. We're not to spare in our nurture and our care for one another. Amen. We need to understand that. As I said, we serve a big God, don't we? And we need to see big through the eyes of our Almighty Savior. But when we only see our own needs, when we only see our own problems, we become small and we see small. And we minimize our big God. Amen? When we lose that fire and that passion to see people saved, we lose our vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, when there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Some scripture or some translations say people perish. When we lose our vision, people perish. They cast off their restraint, and therefore they head down the path of destruction, and they perish. We need a big faith in order to serve a big God. We must understand, we have to realize that our God can do even greater things in our lives than what we can see. And not only in our lives, but also in this tiny little church. Amen. A big God can use little things to accomplish great things. We have to stop minimizing God, and we need to start expanding our tent. Amen. Listen, I know some of us have industrial strength problems. Amen. We do. Some of us are going through it. We just need to understand and never lose faith and never lose sight that God is much bigger than any problem that we can encounter. We are covered under his canopy of care and protection and providence. He knows what you're going through. And if he has allowed it, then there's a reason why he has allowed it. He's working on something inside of you. The question is this morning is, what are you asking God for? Amen. What has your prayer been? What has been your vision for this church? Is that vision small or is it large? Are the unsaved at the top of your prayer list? Do you see obstacles or do you see opportunities? Are you the 10 that only saw giants in the land of Canaan? Or are you like Caleb and Joshua who saw nothing but an opportunity to praise and worship God? Giants or giant slayers? That is the question. Amen. Verse 2 in Isaiah 54, original text. God said, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And God's intent here is for us to do it in a mighty way. Amen? We're to lengthen our cords, not just in inches, but in miles. We serve a great and mighty God. We're not to just strengthen our stakes. He's talking about our faith and our convictions. We are to trust and rely on Jesus and Him alone. He is our strength. He is that firm foundation in which we stand. Listen, a larger tent requires deeper stakes, doesn't it? Amen? You ever pitched a tent or a large canopy? They have massive stakes to hold that large canopy down. And the same is true for us. A larger tent, and God is telling us to enlarge the place of our tent. So that means we need to drive those stakes deeper. As we grow, as we enlarge our tent, our faith and our convictions must also grow. We need deep convictions about the lost. We need deep convictions about personal sin, and we need deep convictions about forgiveness. Amen. And we need to drive those stakes of convictions deep into the ground of our faith. Plain and simple. If we are going to grow bigger as God desires, then we need to grow deeper in Him.